Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
The more the light reveals to me of my own jacked up mess, when I get close to him. So don't get discouraged if you start seeing you're on the depth of your nastiness and think, I must be getting worse and worse. Sometimes the closer I get to the light, the more the light reveals the darkness on me. But the reason for that is he's ready to change all that.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
And in this story, there's a Pharisee who thinks he's got it all together. And more than likely, the reason he invites Jesus to come for a meal in his house isn't because he wants to honor him. We know it's not because he wants to honor him, because of what we're about to see. But more than likely, he's wanting to trap him. He's wanting to make him look. He's wanting to do something. So he says, hey, won't you come for dinner at my house? And he invites a group of people. And so he's having this meal. Jesus shows up at his house. And while Jesus is in the Pharisee's house, they're at the table eating. This lady, this woman, shows up during the meal. And let's just read this part of the story. It starts in verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And when he went to the Pharisee's house, he sat down to eat. Verse 37 says, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. I want you to notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, quit weeping. See, she's doing a different kind of weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet, and she anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had been invited, who invited him in, saw this, he spoke to himself. And so this Pharisee speaks to himself. His name is Simon. And Simon starts talking to himself. And he said, prophet. If this guy was a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman's touching him. He would have nothing to do with that woman. All right? So you see the mentality of that. That's exactly what he says when it says he speaks to the Pharisee, verse 39, who had invited him, saw this. He spoke to himself and said, this man, if he was a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. Now, maybe this Simon's trying to figure out if Jesus is real, if he's legit, but now all of a sudden he just wrote him off because Jesus let a sinner get close to him. But God's about to do a huge thing for this sinner. Let me chase the rabbit just for a second. I don't know if you got anybody that's got a translation that uses any word other than sinner, but we know what kind of sinner this lady was. She's a prostitute. All right, she uses her body to make her living. And she uses those fragrant oils that she brought in that place that day to help her make her living. And a couple weeks ago, when I was sharing this at our church, one of the guys was in the back corner. We got some pretty real dudes at our church. And one of them in the back corner said, hey, I want to know how she knew where that Pharisee's house was. Right? And my thought was, he probably looked up and said, oh, she's early, you know. Anyhow, but you know, I mean, because we see that kind of thing happen. And while we laugh, and it really ain't that funny, but I mean, it is a real possibility. And you know, one of the other guys said, he said, not only that, but he made a great point. He said, man, that oil, he said, you know why she carried it oil? Because in her line of work, she got to smell good. But you know what she did with that oil? Number one, she risked her life when she walked in the Pharisee's house because he knows who she is. And the other one's there. Man, she could have lost her life. But the second thing, here's what we understand. She made up her mind before she ever went in that place, I'm not coming out of this place the way I go in. As a matter of fact, I'm carrying some stuff with me when I go in that I ain't carrying with me when I come out. I'm carrying some things with me when I go in that are the marker of my past, but I'm going to pour them out on Jesus' feet tonight. And when I walk out of that place, I ain't going to be carrying out what I was carrying in because I'm not coming out the same way I went in. You hear what she's saying? And that's why when she begins to weep, you see her position, you see her prayer position. She comes in, she don't get in Jesus' face, she gets behind him. She stands behind him and begins to weep. She gets down and she washes his feet with her tears, with her hair, she rubs his feet. She takes that oil that she used last night for you know what, but she said, I ain't using it tomorrow night for this because tonight I'm pouring out all my means of self-trust. I'm pouring out all my means of self-destruction. I'm pouring out all my means of yesterday's ways, and I'm sacrificing them on the feet of Jesus, and I'm going to trust him to give me tomorrow what I didn't have yesterday or when I walked into this place. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know I ain't leaving like I came in. And I'm not going to carry out of here what I carried in here. I hope you came in here tonight with that attitude. And maybe you didn't even know you did. But some of you guys, y'all carried something in here tonight you ain't going to carry out because Jesus got something for you tonight. Hey, listen, and here's what happens. I love the rest of this story because she's crying. She's washing his feet with her hair. She's pouring out the alabaster oil. And as she does that, Jesus starts talking. See, Simon done started talking to himself. The Pharisee done been talking to himself. Jesus watching the Pharisee talking to himself. I mean, you know, he knows what you're talking about when you're talking to yourself. All right, he knows what you're talking about even when you're talking to yourself. Well, he looks over at Simon. He said, hey, I got a couple things to say to you. Jesus says to Simon, this Pharisee who thinks he's got it all together, I got some stuff to say to you, Simon. Look what it says in verse 40. Jesus said, Simon, I got something to say to you. So he said, go ahead, teacher, say it. Verse 41, Jesus said, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii. Most people argue that a denarii is about a day's wages. So 500 denarii is a chunk of change, okay? And then another person didn't owe him 500 days' wages. He owed him 50 denarii. Okay, so he said one owed him 500, but another owed him 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay him, he freely forgave both of them. Would you tell me, Simon, which one of them is going to love him more? And so as he's looking at Simon, who's already thinking he's way better than this chicken, sure, Jesus ain't got it together either. Because, see, Simon's got himself above Jesus now in his own mind. I'm better than this guy. He don't have a clue who Jesus is. But he's thinking he knows who Jesus ain't. He's thinking he knows who this girl ain't. He thinks he knows who he is. But Jesus is about to show him who he is. And what he says to him is, look here. If somebody owes 500 and somebody owes 50, I forgive them both because neither one of them got enough money to pay. And what was he saying to the Pharisee? Jack, you been over your head and you don't even know it. But one owed 500, one owed 50, I forgive both of them. Which one's going to love me more? Well, he said, well, naturally, the one that owed 500. He said, you have, look at your Bible what it says. He said, you have rightly judged. Well, he'd been judging for a while. He judged her before she walked in that door. He judged her the second she walked through that door. Y'all know what it feels like to be judged? Yeah. Sure we do. Yeah. Sure we do. But now Jesus used a play on words. You have rightly judged. And then he does the most amazing thing to me. What's your name? Olivia. All right, I want you to, Olivia, help me remember Olivia. What's your name? Victoria. All right, I got Olivia right here. I got Victoria right here. Okay, Victoria, you're gonna be Simon, okay? You're the Pharisee because he's over at one part of the room. No offense to you, okay? And no offense to you either, Olivia. I ain't saying you'd like this lady here, but whatever. Look, okay, so you're gonna be this sinner lady. And I want you to watch what Jesus does, because he does everything he does for a reason. Look what happens in this story. It says this. It says, what verse am I on? Yeah, verse 43. Simon said, hey, I suppose the one that he forgave more, Jesus said, you rightly judged. Verse 44. Then he turned to the woman. He's looking straight over here at Olivia, but he's talking to Simon. Now, his eyes are locked into Olivia's eyes, okay? But he's talking to Victoria over here. And Victoria just watching him watch her. See, Olivia ain't saying nothing. Olivia just looking in Jesus' eyes. I ain't making myself up to be Jesus. I'm just telling you. This is just because you got to put yourself in both their shoes when Jesus is going to do what he's about to do. And he's staring her straight in the eyes, and he says these words. As he looked at the woman, he spoke to Simon. He said, you see this woman? And he said, when I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet. But she washed my feet with her tears ever since she came in. You didn't even give me a kiss. But since she walked in this room, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil. But this woman's anointed my feet with her fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, now he's still talking to Simon, but he's still looking at Olivia, or this lady, and he says, though her sins are many, they are forgiven. Now he's still talking to Simon. What did he just say to Simon when he said, her sins are many? She had 500, but they're forgiven. But you ain't got the money to pay your 50. Now here's what he just said. He said, you think you know where you're at, and you think you got it all together. What you think you got, I know you don't. And what you're sure she don't have, she just got. But let me tell you, and listen, I'm just going to tell you, we can hoop and holler about that kind of stuff all day long. But she'd have never got it if she didn't pray this kind of prayer. And it's the third prayer God will answer. It's not a prayer with words. Hey, I promise you this. I share with those guys that I've been married to my wife 28 years. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. We killed each other. It's just a real world, all right? But my wife knows me pretty well. And I have learned this. We learn our love languages, and my love language is different from my wife's love language, but words don't mean much to my wife at all. Matter of fact, if I show up tonight and I walk in the house and say, hey, baby, she's going to know what it is. I love you. She's going to say, mm-hmm. My wife's not interested, and I'm not saying it's not important for me to say that to her from time to time. I just know what her love language is. She don't need words from me. Because, see, words is what I do. I do this with everybody. All day, everywhere I go. And she ain't looking for from me the same thing I give to everybody else. See, she's looking for another kind of relationship with me. Words ain't enough. And I want you ladies to understand this. God answers a prayer that's more than words, but it's a prayer of action. And in this story, this lady prayed a prayer of action. Because she came in bound and determined that she wasn't going to walk out the way she came in. And it wasn't words. She poured out all of her otherwise hope on his feet and left it there. And left it there. One more story. Y'all got time for one more real quick? Okay, good. Hey, listen, we got to hit this one quick. If you got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 15. And to be honest with you, I wasn't planning on this and be a part of it, but on the way, as I pulled in, man, the Lord just laid this passage on my heart. And I'm going to tell you the fourth kind of prayer God will answer. Okay, the fourth kind of prayer God will answer is this. It's a persistent prayer. A persistent prayer of a man. Listen to this story in Matthew chapter 15. It starts in verse 21. Jesus is going out from this place. He departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman from Canaan came from that region. She cried out to him saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She said all the right words. She called him all the right things. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed. Or you might have a translation that says, my daughter's demon-possessed. My little girl's got spiritual problems. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Verse 23 says, but Jesus answered her not a word. He didn't say nothing. As a matter of fact, he acted like he didn't even hear. And his disciples came to him. And they said, send her away, for she won't shut up. Send her away, because she's crying out. And in some kind of sick kind of way, I think it, It looks to me like when he said, well, when he totally ignored her the first time. By the way, you ever feel like, hey, and it's okay just to be real. You ever feel like you tried to cry out, but he just didn't hear you? Hey, I hope y'all was listening to Michelle just a few minutes ago. Because I wrote myself a note down. Did you hear her say, for that season in her life, it seemed like the ceilings were brass, or there was a brass heaven, and she tried to pray, but she couldn't get through? Sometimes it may seem that way. Sometimes it may feel that way. And in this, I believe that one of the reasons why Jesus does what he does, this to me, I'm mad at Jesus. I'm just telling you. I'm just kind of being real. When I'm trying to read these Jesus stories and figure them out, I'm mad at him when I'm reading this one first, because she said all the right stuff. She came with the right spirit, the right attitude, the right everything, and he smooth ignored her. And it looks to me like the disciples said, she's trying to, it looked like they kind of, well, matter of fact, look what he does next. When the disciples said, send her away. She's bugging us. She's crying out after us. But Jesus answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know what he was saying to her? And he wasn't looking at her when he said this. He's responding to his disciples, and he's saying, she ain't one of us. He didn't look at her. He didn't answer her. He acted like he didn't even hear her. And now he's kind of dissing on her. She ain't a Jew. She ain't one of us. We ain't got time for her. In my mind, I almost see those disciples going, oh, I heard that. A couple of them, I said, fist bump. Doop, doop. Jesus, he bad. I ain't liking it. It doesn't fit who I think Jesus is. By the way, sometimes don't misunderstand who he is by how it feels like he might be treating you right now. Your feelings will jack you all up. You trust truth more than you trust your feelings. And sometimes he will do things and allow things in your life for a purpose that's bigger than your feelings. And it may cost your feelings for a little bit of time, but if he can get you past some temporary things by just hurting your feelings, but change your life forever, you'll for eternity say, thank you, Jesus. Okay? But he didn't tickle her feelings, and he ain't responding right. She ain't even one of us. And then he says this. She came now. She ain't giving up yet. He ignored her, and now he says, she ain't one of us. And then she came closer, and she knelt down, and she worshiped him, and she said, Lord, Lord, help me. Help me. By the way, you don't have to pray a fancy prayer. You don't have to know all the words. You don't have to be able to quote half the Bible to get God to move. If your heart is for real and you're chasing after him sometimes, help me is enough. He's not impressed with our words. He don't need your words. He knows what you need before you ever cry out to him. I'm not saying words aren't powerful and they aren't important, but if all you got's help me, use it. Help me. Help me. So now she's at his feet. Lord, help me. And when she said, Lord, help me, he slaps her again. He doesn't literally physically slap her, but listen to what he says. In verse 26, he said, but he answered, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. You ever read this before? What did he just say? If you're standing there, what did he just call you? So now at this point, I'm just really not liking it. Because it sounds extremely harsh. Listen, sometimes there'll be things that seem harsh, feel harsh, sound harsh. But sometimes God might have a lesson to teach a bunch of people. Sometimes at our expense, sometimes it's because of my own mistakes. But don't give up on who he is. I want you to understand one of the prayers God will hear. This fourth prayer is the persistent prayer of settled faith. And here's why I say that. Before she ever had it look like he ignored her, she'd have made up her mind. I'm not going to quit asking him. He's the only one that can help me. if it looks like he ain't hearing me, I'm going to get closer and I'm going to ask again. I'm not giving up. I'm moving in. And she moves in closer and it still looks the same. It even looks worse and feels worse. But you know what she said? I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm persistent because I believe he's my only hope, regardless of how standing close to him makes me look. Now let me just tell you this. If you want to be real about who we are, everybody in this room, if I'm standing right next to him, I'm not going to be looking good. Because he's perfect, sinless, spotless. And the closer I get to the light, the more the light reveals to me of my own jacked up mess. When I get close to him, so don't get discouraged if you start seeing you're on the depth of your nastiness and think, I must be getting worse and worse. Sometimes the closer I get to the light, the more the light reveals the darkness on me. But the reason for that is he's ready to change all that. I can't see what needs to be cleaned until the light reveals this depth of darkness to me. And so as she comes closer and closer, and now he messed around and called her a dog. And then look what she says. In her response, she said in verse 27, Lord, yet even the little dogs, at this point, I just see tears coming out of her face. You can call me what you want to call me, whatever. But even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. He called her dog. She called him master. And she said, hey, you call me whatever you want to call me. I just want a crumb. A crumb from you will satisfy me. You can call me what you want to call me. Tell me what I really am. But give me your crumbs. I just want a crumb from you. Let me tell you something. When you get a crumb, crummy attitude, okay? A little attitude that says, one crumb from you, God. I didn't deserve the crumb in the first place. God didn't never owe you a crumb. He didn't owe me a crumb. But in his grace, God chose to send his son for us. God didn't just say, I love y'all. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated. He didn't say nothing. He showed his love for us in that while we were still jacked up and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the perfect for the ungodly and unrighteous. He's not playing word games. He's showing the reality of his faith. And here's what he means when he says it. He means everything. He means he believes in you, his ability to change you. And so in this story, as this lady has come to him, she finally comes to the place where she says, whatever you want to call me, I'll acknowledge who I am, but I just want a crumb from you. And when I believe when we get to the place where we're ready to take even just his crumbs, if that's what he chooses to give me for right now, it's amazing what God can do with a crumb. One little crumb from him will change every single thing about your life. Let me tell you what else was going on. Why I really believe Jesus does this and allows this. See, his disciples didn't realize how prejudiced they were. His disciples didn't realize how messed up they were in their minds, and he's correcting some of their thinking. So this goes way deeper. It would take too much more time, but all this time he's doing this setup, and they're following along with him, and he's making a huge statement to them. But in the end, they hear the statement loud and clear because her prayer gets answered. And then Jesus says something to this woman that, to my knowledge, and I want to encourage you ladies, when you go home digging that Bible, see if you can prove me wrong. If you can, you send a message to the chaplain. She'll send one to Chuck Mansell, and he'll tell me, Pastor, them women down there want to correct you. But I think Jesus says something to this lady he didn't say to anybody else that I'm aware of in all the scriptures. Because he turns to her after she makes this statement. You call me what you want to call me, but just give me a crumb from your table. Even the dogs get to eat the crumb that fall from the master's table. Verse 28 says, Jesus turned and said to her, oh woman, great is your faith. Now he said that to several people, but not a whole bunch. Great is your faith. But after that, this is the statement he makes to her. He says, let it be to you according to your desire. There are very few times we even get the implication where God refers to the purity of somebody's heart to the extent where he would say, let it be done to you whatever you desire. You know what this says? She came to a humble place where she was ready to take just one crumb, and he knew he had gotten her heart to where it needed to be. Hey, listen, he don't hear the prayer that you don't cry out to him about. You need a miracle? Man, don't be just trusting time and fate. Go to the one who gives the answers. Look, if you're in a spot right now where you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this hole. I can't fix this. I can't change this. I don't know what to do. God will hear a humble, faith-filled prayer. Don't let
pride, stubbornness, ignorance, all those things keep us from doing that. By the way, some of you may be in a place you didn't realize you could ask God to do something this big. There ain't nothing too big for him. Ask the widow whose son is now back alive on that day. Over and over through these stories, but look, I'm going to tell you one of them. Sometimes God's just waiting for you to pray a prayer, not of words, but of action. And when I pray that prayer of action, he's going to meet me right there and give you every crumb he means for you to have. Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, tonight I want to thank you, Lord, for your word. God, how you show us. God, we don't get what we get because we earned it. We don't get what we get because we deserved it. We don't get what we get because you thought we were worthy. Father, we get what we get because you're a good God and you're a gracious God, and you hear the hearts of those who believe in faith and we cry out to you. Father, I pray for these ladies, and God, I can't help but think about that lady that showed up at that place that day, and she walked in that place with more than she intended to walk out with. Father, I thank you that when she walked out, she didn't walk out the same. As a matter of fact, Lord, she had no desire to live tomorrow like she lived yesterday. And I want to pray for ladies in this room tonight that you have preordained an alabaster releasing moment, Father. Lord, where they have an opportunity to pour out their tears at your feet, to wash your feet with the hair of their head, to pour out all of their means of self-trust, all of their patterns of yesterday's ways, and say, I don't have to take another step with the stuff I walked in here with. I'm walking out of here changed, different, new. I'm walking out of here in the hands of the one who looked me straight in the eyes and says, though her sins were many, she is forgiven. Jesus, you're the only one can do it. But we know your word shows us that you'll do it if we'll cry out to you, God, with a humble, faith-filled prayer, with a prayer that understands that God can do greater things. Lord, you can do bigger things. You can raise the dead. You can overcome whatever obstacles in this room. And Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that for some of these ladies tonight, you're just waiting for a prayer of action, not words this time, not motions, not some little physical movement, not something that comes across their lips necessarily, although what happens in their heart ultimately is going to come across their lips. But God, I want to thank you that maybe tonight you're calling somebody to take a step. And Father, would you give them grace to know what that step is so they can know how to pray that prayer of action, Father. And for those that don't even know what to say, don't know where to go, don't know what to do, Father, thank you that tonight, that sometimes just looking to Jesus and saying, I know you're the answer. I know I'm messed up. I know my hope is in you and you're enough, Jesus. Help me. God, tonight, I pray for ladies who would cry out and say, help me, Jesus. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back where I came in here from without holding your hand. Help me, Jesus. Give me your life. Give me your spirit. And create your glory within me. Father, would you do it in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.